My name is Terry Pickford. I'm the leader of the Northwest Raptor Group. It was the first raptor group to protect raptors in the Northwest, founded in 1967. I think we're on our 54th year now.
So can you just tell us, I mean, raptors are birds of prey. Can you just take us through some of the main birds of prey in this country that need protecting particularly?
They all need protecting.
I see buzzards quite a bit. I'm seeing more and more kites from time to time with the forked tails.
That's right, yeah.
And the screech is very distinctive from many of these birds. But which are the key birds of prey in Britain that we can see today?
Key birds of prey that you can see. You've mentioned the buzzard. You've mentioned the red kite down south, not up in the north. The other one is the sparrowhawk. The rarest and the ones that we're doing our best to bring back are the hen harriers. We're down to about 30 pairs in England, and there should be 320. Predominantly, they breed on grouse moors, where they are not welcome. And this has been the trouble. And they are killed, well, wherever they're seen, really. They just disappear. It's a big tragedy, and there isn't enough of us to do as much as we want to do. That's the problem, Tony.
It seems to me that the landowners have obviously got an interest, which is to breed grouse. So what is going on with the competition between the hen harrier and the grouse and the landowners?
Yeah, you've hit it on the head, really. What they're doing these days is breeding as many grouse as they can to shoot as many grouse as they can. And it's not the old school. It's not like the old school. They've got much younger gamekeepers. Some of them are pro hen harriers, but the majority of them are not. The area that we work in is the Forest of Bowland. We don't cross the boundary into Yorkshire or anywhere like that. There's other people doing that work, and they're having the same problem, particularly as well in Derbyshire, where the hen harrier is persecuted. We found 10 occupied peregrine, one peregrine site in Bowland this year when there used to be about 11. They've disappeared. The hen harriers this year, we got 10 territories occupied and two of them failed. One, we don't know why it failed. And that's the crux of the problem, because we haven't got licenses for Bowland. They won't give us licenses for Bowland now.
Why would you need a license to go and check on a hen harrier nest?
It's the law. You're not allowed to go and disturb any Schedule 1 bird without a license during the breeding season when it's got eggs or young. You can only do it when the young are fledged. Now, this is the problem. When the nest is destroyed or the eggs taken and removed and the chicks killed, it's too late and we can't get to the nest. That's the problem, and that's what's happening. We had a scheme going before we had our licenses removed where we checked every single potential nesting site of peregrine and hen harrier in the Forest of Bowland. We can no longer do that. We've been stopped because it's seen that we're poking our nose in where the RSPB are working. And incidentally, it was me that sort of briefed the RSPB 30, 40 years ago what was going on in Bowland, and they said, oh, well, we'll get involved, we'll have this sorted out in 5 years. That was 40 years ago. It's worse now than it probably has been.
Well, that's okay, so who is it that issues these licences then?
Natural England.
Don't the RSPB have a say in this?
The RSPB can issue licences to their own staff. They can do that, and it's an odd thing that they're given licenses as well to do that. They can issue licenses to the staff. But yes, they have got a say in it, and this is the problem. They don't want the Northwest Raptor Group getting involved and finding things that are destroyed and then publishing it, which puts them in a little bit of bad light.
The obvious thing, Terry, is what reason have they given for the people, you know, your group that have really started this whole process of protecting these birds? Have you accidentally destroyed a nest, killed a bird or something?
No, nothing like that. It's just that if we find any persecution, we like to publish it. We like to put it into the public domain because it's in the public interest. Now, for some reason, which we've never fathomed out properly, the RSPB do not like putting out figures into the public domain in the Forest of Bowland. And their workers that work for the RSPB, that are not members of the RSPB, but they are workers during the summer, they've all had to sign a document whereby they can't say anything, publish anything without the RSPB's approval.
Wow. This is a non-disclosure agreement. That's almost almost unbelievable that some, you know, an organisation, a charity, put together to protect birds, that staff should have to swear on their word of honour, you know, that they will not reveal this information to the public. I mean, surely that's exactly that's in their charter and their terms of services. That's what they're there to do.
That's what they're there to do. But we were in the meeting, and I organised all the meetings to begin with years ago, but they slowly took over with the cooperation of United Utilities. And United Utilities is the only estate really in northwest England helping to protect hen harriers. It's the only estate where hen harriers regularly fledge. And we were asked to sign this document at the meeting, and without any single one saying no, they wouldn't, we all said, no, we can't sign that. It's not technically legal. You don't ask your staff to sign that when they're working for you, and we're not going to sign it. It was pretty bad, pretty bad. I mean, it's putting a downer on all the work that we were doing, and it is now very difficult to find out what exactly is going on in Bowland.
Amazing, without actually going there yourself. Now, do you ever have any trouble with the gamekeepers? And I wonder if they start to treat you like a poacher rather than someone that's trying to protect the wildlife.
We've had trouble with the gamekeepers smashing our cars and putting nails in tyres and that kind of thing. We've also, funny enough, you're going to find this crazy, we've had major problems with the former wildlife crime officer. Yeah. And he accused me, along with a gamekeeper, of trying to run the gamekeeper down with my vehicle, which wasn't true. And he never put it in his logbook. And, you know, I made a big complaint about it. He said, oh, well, we were going to arrest you, Terry. Ah, but you didn't. I never did anything like that. I wouldn't do anything like that.
So were you actually charged?
No. And he never noticed. He was alongside me when I passed him in my vehicle, and the gamekeeper was 200 yards away training his dogs. And they got together and they came up with this cock and bull story that I tried to run the gamekeeper down. And when I got a solicitor involved, this gamekeeper withdrew because he knew it was big trouble for him. I hadn't tried to run anyone down. I was actually going up to look at the eagle owls.
They sound great.
They're all gone, you know.
Is the Forest of Bowland a good area for birds of prey?
On the United Utilities estate, yes. Most of the peregrines that were breeding 10 years ago have all disappeared. I personally don't know of any occupied peregrine nests now on any of the private estates in Bowland. And as I said, there used to be up to 10 peregrine pairs nesting in Bowland, and now we're down to one, probably two pairs, and that's all. And there's another interesting point. We found a pair 2 years ago that we didn't know were there. They had young, and when it was passed to the RSPB via a second intermediary, because we passed it on, we wanted them to know, they said, no, nothing ever nested there. The birds were screaming and dropping at us out of the sky, and they had chicks. Could see them from the other side of the valley, you know. So why would they deny it? But they did disappear. They did disappear. They went. See, it was a failed nest. So that's probably why they didn't want to get involved and admit there was a nest there in the beginning, because it wasn't protected properly.
Well, mate, that's interesting, isn't it? It's possible that even the RSPB have passed the information to somebody, although they're telling their staff not to tell the public, that has then decided to destroy the nest. That's even feasible,
well,
isn't it, Terry?
I don't think that's anywhere near the mark. It was on a keeper's beat, and I think it was very easy to find because it was on a public footpath. It nested within 50 metres of the public footpath, which the keeper went up every day, so he'd find it very easily. And he wouldn't know anyone else knew about it, so they'd get rid of it. I'm not saying they did. I've no proof that they did. I just don't know. We know we went back 2 days after we found it, and it was gone.
Well, that's pretty shocking. What is the law, anyway, on birds of prey?
Well, they're all protected, maximum protection under Schedule 1. There's a £5,000 fine for anyone that disturbs a nest with eggs or chicks, and you can actually get sent to prison, but it rarely happens. It rarely happens. I mean, there was 2016, one of the Bowland estate keepers was actually videoed going to a nest in the middle of the night, a peregrine nest, and he actually killed both birds. He was seen chopping them with a hammer, and he smashed all the eggs. They took him to court, but they lost the case. The judge didn't see the video, wasn't shown the video, and the prosecuting counsel forgot to come to court with all his notes. He hadn't got a clue about the law. Every time he was asked something, the judge had to intervene and said, "Do you not know the answer to these questions?" And he said, "No, I've not had time to, get it under my skin what was going on." He hadn't a clue about
it. Well, I mean, it sounds to me, Terry, like you're dealing with a whole establishment based around the landowners and the gamekeepers that think they're above the law, really.
Well, they've done that for a long, long time. Yeah, done that for a long, long time.
Can you give us some examples of good practice where birds of prey have been able to successfully breed, etc.?
Well, the RSPB are following good practice. They monitor a lot of the hen harrier nests. In fact, most of them, if they can, and they get voluntary staff without any experience, I have to say, and they come in thinking they can get a few pictures when they're in the hide, and they monitor these nests night and day. And without that, they would probably have disappeared quite quick. The other thing that they are doing, which I suggested 30 years ago, is they put diversionary feeders out, which is a platform, and they put food on there for these birds to feed on instead of taking the grouse, which they are doing. And that seems to be working quite well.
I mean, surely the whole grouse business, there are thousands of grouse out there. Surely these birds of prey are not taking so many that it's really, even affect the profits of these landowners and the people doing the shooting.
One's too many for some of them. One, just one. Anything with a hook beak is generally got rid of and buried under the ground or burnt on a fire. I mean, most of them birds have got trackers on now, and when they're found, the trackers are destroyed. They take them home and put them in the burner, or they stamp on them or smash them with a rock. That's the problem.
How have you seen this over the years? Are things getting better or worse?
Worse, I would say. Definitely worse. I mean, we should all be working together. Now, we've got a new lady taking over as Boland manager for the RSPB this year. We don't know how she'll be, but the one last year who came 4 years ago wouldn't work with us at all. He wouldn't even talk to us. That's how bad it was. I always remember 2 years ago, I was up there with a cameraman from ITV. I think he was from ITV. And we went up to a grouse butt that was empty where the RSPB put their wardens to see over the moor because they've got a commanding view of three nests from there, hen harrier nests. And when we got down, we were intervened by the RSPB and were told not to sit there anymore as hen harriers could nest there in the future. I said, this moor's 24,000 acres. I said, it can nest anywhere. And where we were sitting, it was full of boulders. I said, they don't nest there at all. I said, your fieldcraft is pretty bad. They hadn't got a clue. But telling you to move on.
Amazing, isn't it, really? Considering actually you've got a similar interest. It almost sounds like some of these groups, even the RSPB, are acting like a little clique.
They are a monopoly, unfortunately, and they don't want to share it with anyone. I mean, the amount of fieldwork we put in every year and the things we see and could tell them, they seemingly just dismiss it as though it's not important, but it is. I mean, we're not bothered anymore because we can do what we like. I mean, unlike the RSPB, we can go on any of the private estates because we don't get paid. Now, any person with a license that gets paid, right, is not allowed to go to a nest without landowner's permission. Now, in Boland, apart from United Utilities, they won't give them permission. They won't give the RSP permission, except under certain circumstances when the National Hen Harrier Coordinator for Great Britain comes along. He's on his own. He gets permission because he's Natural England. He gets his own. But the RSPB, because they get paid a salary, they're not allowed to step on any of the other estates or visit any nests without landowner's permission. But we can. And if we can, we can pass on information that they can't get.
What about Natural England? I mean, we keep hearing about these various kind of bodies like the Environment Agency. Who are these people? Because they seem to be intervening increasingly. I was hearing recently they're actually taking out court cases against some people in North Cumbria who were grazing ponies on the fells and had been doing, the family had been doing for centuries. They seem to be increasingly intervening.
They are. I've never heard of that case. They stay away from us. They don't bother with us because I get licenses for any bird of prey that I generally want to get for outside the boundary of the forest of Bowland. Now, don't you think that's very strange? I can get sea eagle. I've got golden eagle. I've got red kite. I've got goshawk. I've got peregrine. I've got merlin, but all outside the forest of Bowland. If I come in the forest of Bowland, I can't get a license, where our work could be very, very beneficial. So it's not that we can't get licenses. It's not that we've done anything wrong, because we do get them, but not for the forest of Bowland, because they're trying to hide things. And we would publish any bad practice or any nests that are destroyed, but they don't.
I mean, it seems that there is a problem at the heart of this, Terry, and that is, you know, that although some areas of land have got the right to roam, a lot of it is private land, and you could find yourself in trouble, no?
Yeah, it's still private land, but we're allowed to go with our licenses on any of the estates without landowner's permission. And we can visit nests without landowner's permission if we've got a license, but they won't give us a license. So we can't go near any of the nests, which generally fail, and we can't tell anybody that they failed because we've not had a license.
I mean, you've been doing this for years. Have you ever had confrontations with landowners or gatekeepers saying you shouldn't be here, get out?
Yeah, gatekeepers mainly, not landowners. No, not landowners. We tend to stay pretty clear of landowners. We don't do anything silly. We're very careful what we do, and we stay away. We stay away from the nests. Just a minute, Don. That telly came on. Sorry about that. We tend to stay away from the people when we're on the moor, unless we come across a gamekeeper, which you know is not very common. Because they're out at night, mainly. And I've never come across a landowner while we've been out.
So what is the role of gamekeepers these days? I mean, are they still doing the old traditional thing of trying to stop poaching?
Well, they do stop poaching. That's certain. There is a lot of poaching. And they do try to control the poaching. But their main job is to maintain grouse stocks and to maintain the habitat suitable for goshawks. And whenever you interview or see an interview with a gamekeeper, oh, well, we've got merlin on here, we've got curlew, we've got lapwing. Yeah, but what about hen harry? They don't mention hen harries at all, or peregrine. They stay well clear of mentioning it. When they're none, they can't say anything, but they don't say anything because they're not doing anything to protect them.
If people are interested in birds of prey and want to go and see them, what's the best way to do that without actually disturbing the birds and maybe even helping out the breeding process?
Well, keep to the footpaths mainly. Keep to the footpaths and the tracks. Take a good pair of binoculars. You've got to know what you're doing, otherwise you'd miss things. We find that if you're walking now, which we do a lot of, we have bikes, we go on the bikes as well, but if you're in motor cars, you miss a lot. But when you walk, you generally find a lot, because you can hear hen harriers chittering away, and you know there's a pair there, and sometimes you can pick a peregrine up from half a mile, so you know there's a peregrine there. But we know where all the traditional sites are. I think there was about 50 peregrine traditional sites that we know about in the forest of Bowland that have been used over the last 60 years. So it's a big job going to them all and checking them all out. And sometimes you see a rare bird, which is a bonus.
I mean, isn't the first indication listening out for the calls? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, we listen out for the calls. That generally happens when you're close to a nest. But you've got to be very careful because you could be accused of causing reckless disturbance when you're not intending to do that because you don't know the birds are there. I mean, we had an instance 3 years ago where two of our members had one of their sons out with them, and the son came across an empty nest with four white eggs. He didn't know what they were, on the ground, called his father over, and he said, "That's a hen, Harry." And he had a license, actually. They had a license, but they weren't looking for them. So they said, "Come on, let's get away. Let's ring Terry, and he'll ring Natural England." And I got an email saying, "You shouldn't have gone to that nest. You should have known it was there before you went." We didn't know. We just didn't know.
I mean, well, it sounds absolutely unbelievably officious the way these people deal with the public, almost as if, you know, they're not public servants at all, but they are somehow the landowners, they're in control, and you are the poachers rather than the people who are trying to do the right thing and actually obey the law. Anyway, how do people follow your group if people are, you know, up in that part of the world, Terry?
Well, we've got a website. It's www.raptorpolitics.co.uk. There's a lot of information on there. We're on Facebook. I'm on Terry Pickford, that's mine. And I'm on Twitter as well, at Raptor Politics. So we've got plenty of things to do. And incidentally, you mentioned about the public, and it's very rare that the public are even approached when they're walking in Bowland. The RSPB tend to leave them alone, as does the gamekeepers. And it's getting very busy now in Bowland.
For people who are already members of the RSPB, is there anything that they can do to put pressure on them to sort of behave a little bit better and change the way they do things?
Well, I don't think that the RSPB membership are doing anything wrong. It's just that they would probably be working in concert with the RSPB. And generally speaking, if they want to go to Bowland, they get in touch with the RSPB before they go. And they might even be taken on as voluntary wardens for the season. But you've got to have a lot of experience to know what you're doing with birds of prey. I mean, I've been to a peregrine nest before now. And on top of the crag, I was about 5 feet looking over the edge. And I saw the peregrine fast asleep underneath on the nest, incubating eggs. She never saw me. She never woke up. I just pulled my head back and walked away. I had a policeman with me on that day, and he had a look as well. Never disturbed her at all. So if you know what you're doing, you can have a look without disturbing these birds. And if you find one by accident and then move away quickly, you're not breaking the law anyway.
In the whole country, are birds of prey increasing or decreasing?
Red kites increasing. Certainly hen harriers are not increasing. Peregrines away from grouse moors, which are nesting now on man-made structures throughout the country, they're increasing. They're doing very, very well. I think there's about 25 pairs nesting in London. It's incredible, isn't it? And yet on grouse moors, they're nearly extinct. They're just not there.
So what are you saying on tower blocks and chimneys and things like that?
Yep. And on unbelievable, on gantries, on crane gantries, buildings, churches, chimneys that have not been knocked down, the nesting on all that, railway bridges, unbelievable, Tony, unbelievable. But they're not being interfered with because they're not on grouse moors. It's only on grouse moors where the persecution generally is taking place.
Okay, Terry Pickford from the Northwest Raptor Group, thanks very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Tony.